Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and our coverage of the Haiti earthquake continues now. Here are some voices to begin with of New Yorkers with personal connections to the earthquake in Haiti.
I'm in shock right now. I'm in shock.
I'm called over a couple thousand times. Nobody answered the phone. My dad, my mother, my brothers and sisters live there. So that's, I'm looking for the information anybody call.
I have my kids, they're crying for grandma because they keep calling, Daddy, have you heard from grandma yet? I keep telling them, not yet, they're going crazy. You know, my two kids, they're going crazy, my wife, everybody.
This time, I think, is the call. Haitian, friends of Haitians from everywhere, it is the time to put our hands together to do something for that great nation. For that nation with such a wonderful history. And I think it is the time.
Haitian New Yorkers, who WNYC's Marianne McCune spoke with since the earthquake, and once again, our hearts go out today to anyone listening affected by the quake as our coverage continues now. And Haitian Americans, we need your calls with whatever you know from in-country and with your thoughts and feelings and how other listeners can help. You can call us now at 212-433-WNYC. We are opening the lines for any Haitians in our listening area, 212-433-9692. Haitian Americans, the lines are open for anything you feel you need to say or ask. We'll have guests from the UN, from the Haitian Times, and elsewhere. Haitian New Yorkers, our lines are open for you. Also, tell us what you're hearing from Haiti if you're able to be in touch through any media. 212-433-WNYC is the phone number. 212-433-9692. We will also continue to follow social media and other information coming to us from the earthquake zone. Gary Pierre Pierre is here, editor and publisher of the Haitian Times here in New York, a former New York Times reporter and co-host of Independent Sources on CUNY TV on Wednesday nights. And hello, Gary. I know you're crazy busy. Where are you right now?
Right now, I'm in New Rochelle at home, going to rent a car to get down to Brooklyn.
What's the latest you're hearing from Haiti on the extent of the devastation in general?
Well, to summarize it, what I've gotten from somebody is bodies upon bodies. That's essentially the sense of it. It's death and destruction, nothing more, nothing less.
The capital city, Port-au-Prince, seems like the epicenter of that death and destruction. We're hearing of a hospital in a wealthy part of the city that collapsed. The UN headquarters, and we'll speak to a UN spokesperson in just a minute, the UN headquarters there and the presidential palace both partially collapsed, not to mention so many private homes and other buildings. So in terms of how many people would be affected, this seems to have hit in the worst possible place in the country. Have you ever known of anything like this?
This is the worst natural disaster or any type of disaster that's ever hit Haiti. I mean, I hear in 200 years, but I don't know when did something like that happen before 200 years. And so this is something that, you know, many of us who are Haiti followers really shuddered when we what can happen, Brian. I mean, the place is teeming with people, Port-au-Prince. And when we say the capital, actually, to be quite honest, Port-au-Prince is Haiti. We call it the Republic of Haiti. So this is really, the country has been destroyed in many ways. And I'm not hyperbolizing this. You know, when this all clears out, we'll never know the exact numbers. But I can guarantee you, Brian, there'll be under 100,000.
And in fact, the Red Cross is now estimating that 3 million people may be affected. That doesn't mean dead, but that 3 million people may be affected. What's the rough population of Haiti, Gary, and what's the rough population of Port-au-Prince?
Haiti is about 9 million, and I would say about 3 million live in Port-au-Prince. And mind you, Brian, Port-au-Prince was built for 200,000 people. And so now, you know, you have slums. You have just teeming from everywhere. You talk about Pétionville being, you know, a wealthy people, but among that wealthy enclave are just like clusters of people upon people. I mean, this is really, 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 really serious. And right now, I don't know the extent of the catastrophe. I've spoken with people for a few seconds or so when I was lucky enough to have gotten through. And again, they were able to tell me just a little nugget of information. Could not get much of a story out of them. I'm speechless, and it's not often that happens to me. And right now, I'm losing words to describe what's happening there.
Gary, stay right there. Gary Pierre, publisher and editor of the Haitian Times here in New York, and let's take a phone call from Gabrielle in Brooklyn. Gabrielle, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you for calling.
Yeah. Thanks, Brian. I want to say my condolence to the Haitian people, but all what I got to say is the Haitian people, something's not right. They're supposed to pray very hard because anything sad happen, it happened in Haiti, and there is Dominican right there. Something is not right. So the Haitian people supposed to fast and pray to God. I'm not going to open my mouth and say God cares them or the voodoo or this thing. Something is not right.
Gabriel, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you very much. Gary, I'll just pick up on one thing that he said, which is that the Dominican is right there. For people who don't know the geography, the island of Hispaniola in the Caribbean includes Haiti on the western part and the Dominican Republic on the eastern part. The Dominican Republic, Gary, is on the same fault line, isn't it, but was not affected by this earthquake?
Not. And Brian, again, I thank you for clarifying this because, you know, everybody's calling Haiti an island. Haiti is not an island. It's a country that shares an island with the Dominican Republic. And so I'm glad, you know, you're there to correct the misinformation that's going on. But the call is absolutely right. Part of the problem is this is a tragedy long coming. Haiti is a mountainous part of the island, very mountainous. It's about 40% mountain, and most of this mountain, if not, you know, 90% of it, is bare. So the soil is very shaky. So imagine what happens when you have such a strong earthquake like this, where everything, the ecosystem is fragile. And so whereas in the Dominican Republic, the landscape is flatter, and it's better protected from something like this.
Also joining us now is Stephanie Bunker, a spokesperson for the United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs. Stephanie Bunker, thank you so much for taking a few minutes to come on WNYC today.
You're welcome.
And the latest coming from the United Nations, this just moved across the AP wire a short time ago, it says the UN says more than 100 people are missing in the rubble of the collapsed UN headquarters building in Haiti, including the mission chief. UN peacekeeping chief Alain Leroy said about 10 people have been pulled out, many badly injured, and less than 5, in his words, are confirmed dead. Stephanie, is there anything you can add to that?
Yes, we think that about 50 to 100 people are in that building, but there's other buildings that have been affected, including the UN Development Program, and we think that there are also perhaps more than 30 staff that are trapped in that building alone. So far, we think that there's about 115 to 200 UN staff that have not been accounted for in total, but I want to stress to you that that's just the international staff, and we don't know yet about our local staff. And, of course, they're the vast proportion of staff in any UN operation. We're very concerned about the situation in Haiti at large. There was a helicopter mission that overflew Port-au-Prince, and it showed that there was extensive damage to both the downtown of the city and to the port as well. So we don't have a death toll yet. We don't have an injury toll yet. It's too early, but we're very concerned, and we're mobilizing now to respond as best as we can in emergency team has been put together. It will be going in today. We will be reinforcing staffing in Haiti, and we'll do everything we can along with all of the other actors on the ground to mitigate the suffering of the people on the ground as much as we can do.
Also, Stephanie, as you've probably heard, France's foreign minister is saying the head of the UN mission in Haiti appears to have died in the quake. France's foreign minister, Bernard Kouchner, who told two French radio stations that his information about Tunisian diplomat Hedi Anabi had come from the French ambassador in Haiti. Can you confirm that?
No, I can't confirm that. I've seen the same news reports that you have. I don't think the UN can yet confirm that. We're hoping that we won't have to confirm it, of course, but we're working on the same information that you have at this point.
And, of course, the United Nations infrastructure there is just one building or one set of buildings in a capital of 3 million people. What about the rest of your work with the UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs?
Well, absolutely. I wouldn't want to put all the light on the UN at all, because you're talking about a city of actually about 2.8 million people. There's about 6 million people who are in the area that felt the shocks. There's over 3 million people in the area where the shocks were strong. So we know that, you know, a hospital's come down. We know that buildings have come down. We know that a hotel's come down. We know that homes have come down. So we know that, you know, there's going to be a lot of needs for this. And we're working to try to meet those needs. But the first need right now, at this moment, today and tomorrow, is basically search and rescue and trying to get people out of the rubble and save their lives.
Let me take another phone call from one of our Haitian American listeners, Ed in Southampton. Ed, thank you for calling. Hello.
Yes, hi. Good morning. And basically, I just want to say, while it's people try to commiserate with the tragedy of yesterday and today, it's important that you know, that we're galvanized into action rather than just sitting down and just
feeling bad. Absolutely, Ed. What do you think people need to do who are in our listening area? What can people do?
Well, there's a host of things that we can do. Basically, we can reach, you know, to different folks, you know, to see what, take contributions. Let me just turn down my radio. Just take contributions, you know, and make sure that money, it's channeled, you know, to the appropriate parties.
Ed, thank you for your call. I understand you have family there.
Yes, I do. Actually, in fact, yesterday, I have a brother, Franz Joseph, who lives around the Pétionville area, and I was able to get in contact with him. And and beyond that, my wife and I have been, you know, calling him for, I mean, over 100 times, you know, basically to no avail. Because I trust, I'm being hopeful and optimistic that I trust that, it, you know, that he's okay.
And our thoughts are with you. I hope that your loved ones are okay.
I appreciate it.
Thank you for calling and for the call to action, which, of course, is part of our coverage to begin with. We have on the WNYC homepage a list of various places that anyone listening right now can donate money to help. And Gary Pierre-Pierre from the Haitian Times, what else can people do? Obviously, we can donate money. Is there any other way that people in our area can help? I know, besides feeling so sad for people there, we feel helpless.
Well, I mean, I think we're looking for healthcare volunteers, you know, to go down, and we're looking for engineers to help in the rubble. And also with us, the Haitian Times, we put together a team of journalists to go down there and help the coverage, because this is far, far bigger than small staff can handle. We put together a team of about three reporters and two photographers, and we're going to go down there and really update people every half hour or less on what's going on.
Gary Pierre-Pierre, editor and publisher of the Haitian Times, I'm going to let you go. I know you're doing so much today to cover the crisis in the New York area. Thank you for coming on. And Stephanie Bunker from the UN, before you go, also respond to Ed's call. What can people in our listening area most effectively do to help?
The best thing that people can do to help is to give cash or check contributions to charities that they trust to do the work that needs to be done. And secondarily, especially for Haitian people in the area, to send money home to their loved ones. It's best to try to avoid sending anything material, like stuff. It clogs up the pipelines. It gets in the way. So, you know, send money quickly, send money to people that you trust.
Stephanie Bunker is a spokesperson for the UN's Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs. Thank you very much for coming on with us on a very busy and hectic day for you. And our coverage continues of the Haitian earthquake in just a minute. Then we have Pennsylvania Governor Ed Rendell standing by in just a little while. He is leading a campaign with Mayor Bloomberg to rebuild our nation's infrastructure. Governor Rendell coming up. But first, more from Haiti. And we continue to take your phone calls if you are Haitian American and have anything to say or any news to report if you've been in touch with anybody there. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Brian Lehrer on WNYC as we continue our coverage of the earthquake in Haiti. Haiti's devastating earthquake has left an estimated 3 million people in need of emergency aid, according to a Red Cross official, as aid groups and governments are scrambling to send tons of disaster relief to the impoverished Caribbean nation. We heard the reports just a few minutes ago on our air from Gary Pierre Pierre from the Haitian Times, who says he has never seen anything like this. He, who some of you know because he's been on this program many, many times, is not a man who is often at a loss for words, but he was at a loss for words to describe the devastation, the extent of the destruction of a capital city, a major capital city in our hemisphere. Now the estimate of 3 million people in need of emergency aid coming from the Red Cross. Humanitarian officials say the proximity of the quake's epicenter, only 10 miles from the capital, and Haiti's crumbling infrastructure to begin with, meant it was impossible to gauge how many people might be dead or wounded, probably 3 million potentially affected, said Paul Keneally, spokesman for the International Federation of the Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies, basing that estimate on Haiti's population of 10 million and previous Red Cross experience in earthquake relief. We now have President Obama speaking out on the earthquake in Haiti just a minute ago, and he basically just said that it's heart-wrenching and the United States will do everything that it can do. We'll talk in a minute about further questions regarding what the U.S. role in relief and even longer-term rebuilding can do. We also have the Pope speaking about the earthquake in Haiti. There are many Haitian Catholics, and he might say something about it even if there weren't many Haitian Catholics. But the Pope talking about a Roman Catholic priest in France, also now saying the Archbishop of Port-au-Prince, Monsignor Joseph Sergei Miot, has died in the Haitian earthquake. Father Pierre Lebeller of the St. Jacques Missionary Center in western France, as fellow missionaries in Haiti, told them they found Miot's body in the ruins of the archdiocese office. Miot was 53, and the information just gets grimmer and grimmer. We'll continue to take your phone calls. Communications continue to be difficult getting word out of Haiti. So if you've been successfully in touch with anybody there, we'll put you on the air. And if you're Haitian American, for anything else that you just want to express at this time, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And also joining us now is Raj Patel, author and activist and UC Berkeley professor. He has worked in and written about Haiti, including the food riots there a few years ago. He was going to be on today later in the program to talk about his new book about democracy, but we will do the book interview at another time and talk about Haiti now. Raj, welcome to WNYC. Thank you for switching up for us.
Not at all, Brian. This is a profound tragedy, and we need to get as much information out as we can.
What has your experience been in Haiti, and are you still involved with people or groups there?
Well, I'm on the board of a group called the Otobenga Alliance that works in the Congo, but also with communities around the world struggling for justice. And we've spent a lot of time working with some groups in Haiti. We've been unable to get in touch with them to find out what's been going on. But we've been covering the long struggle for democracy in Haiti for a long time. And this obviously this profound tragedy is an immense setback. Your previous guests were encouraging people to send money to organizations they trust, and we're certainly standing behind that, and we're keen to encourage emergency relief as much as we can in this time.
And let's take a phone call right now. Elsie in Elmont, you're on WNYC. Hello, Elsie.
Good morning, and thank you for the opportunity to speak about the tragedy in my country. I just left Haiti Monday night and taken to the airport by my son and my mother, and I transited in Miami, and when I got here yesterday, that's when my son called me frantically and telling me, Mom, you won't imagine what happened. At first, I thought it was my mother, but and the communication got shut off. I just want to say that this is not a plain tragedy, as a lot of Haitians seem to think about it. It's just a disaster that had to happen. It's a natural disaster. It could be the hands of God touching this country. But this country had gone through many phases in its history. And this is one of the phases that is going to have to go through. Hopefully, it's going to recover. One of the critical things that I can think of is the fact that we're just estimating numbers. We know that the big national count is going to happen in the United States on April 1st, 2010, and so we could know exactly how many people are in the country so we could serve them better. We don't have that in Haiti, and this is so harsh, heart-wrenching, because we don't know how many people we're going to be able to serve, the physically challenged, the seniors, the children. I was down there for 12 days, and I reached out to a lot of orphanage. Those people are going to need our help. Those children, because they are the most vulnerable, and there are a lot of things happening there. This is just heart-wrenching, as I said, and I hope that people can understand what is called the emergency preparedness, knowing the numbers, knowing how many people live in an area. We cannot just estimate 50 victims under the wound, 100 victims. We need to know how many people were there initially so we can reach out to them and provide them with the best care.
That's exactly right. And Raj Patel, maybe that's where the group that you're on the board of comes in, at least to some degree, that kind of horrific prioritization. It's prioritization
exactly.
That's necessary, but it's also horrific to put people who are in danger right now in any kind of a pecking order. How does a group like yours deal with that?
Well, I mean, we're actually concerned with what happens afterwards. We're concerned with, I mean, right now, I mean, asking to prioritize is absolutely horrific, and that's, you know, I think. That's not something that we're involved with in terms of emergency relief.
Right, it's not your group's role. I understand
right.
that. Well, Elsie, stay there for just
right,
a minute.
Right. I really like to piggyback on what Mr. Watch just said about reaching out certain groups.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, let me play a clip of a Haitian-American in Brooklyn who WNYC News spoke to yesterday, and he does put this in a slightly larger perspective because, of course, an earthquake is a natural disaster, but Orlando Opont, who I believe is from Brooklyn, sees it in a larger context.
This time, I think, is the call. Haitian, friends of Haitians from everywhere, it is the time to put our hands together to do something for that great nation, for that nation with such a wonderful history. And I think it is the time.
Elsie and Elmont, what were you thinking as you heard that?
This is indeed true. We need to probably join all forces together, all efforts. And this is one of the things that I constantly indoctrinate Haitians with. We cannot do things by ourselves. We cannot be working in isolation. Down there in one of the orphanage where I've seen a lot of medical plight, you know, children dying, I had to say to the director of that orphanage, you cannot do this alone. Why don't you join other orphanages and work with them. I mean, the resources can be plentiful. The resources can be shared. You have to work together. I mean, that, the egocentric principle of certain people, I mean, not all of them, that has to stop. We have to work in a broader sense. And this is what's important for that country to survive. And one of the things that I want to say about the Haitian population, they tend to think about, you know, God's willing, God will help, God will help. Yes, yes, that's true. And this is a very fresh population, a very innocent population. We like to laugh. We deal with our problems with laughter, with jokes. I mean, I came back from Haiti revived. I came back from Haiti. I forgot all on the plane. I was thinking about all the jokes that I've heard, you know, from my friends. And it's rejoiceful because that's how people want to survive. There's so many things that they will have to deal with. They cannot be thinking about them all the time. I mean, yes. Let's take it. I'm a health educator. Let's take it from the perspective of breast cancer prevention. You think we can actually tell people to go yearly for a mammogram down there or to take an AIDS test? They have other things that they are trying to manage.
Day-to-day survival.
Yes, absolutely.
And Elsie, I'm going to leave it there and just let some other voices come on here. But thank you so much for your call. We really, really appreciate you speaking out.
Thank you again for that opportunity.
Thank you again. Bye-bye. And this report now coming from Europe. Heavy snow in Europe today is delaying some aid flights from reaching Haiti. A British plane with 64 firefighters and rescue dogs is temporarily grounded at Gatwick Airport. French rescue authorities say 65 rubble clearing specialists and 6 sniffer dogs are leaving for Haiti. Spain is sending 3 airplanes with at least 100 tons of tents, blankets, and cooking kits. It's also pledging more than $4 million. The Netherlands has pledged $3 million. Germany is sending $1.5 million and China $1 million. An Irish telecommunications company is donating $5 million and sending specialists to help repair the damaged telephone network. So just some of the particular pieces of help coming from European nations. A lot of course, coming from this country, and President Obama was announcing some of that a few minutes ago. Raj Patel, an earthquake is a natural disaster, but from your vantage point, I imagine you see some political or economic overtones to this. Are there?
Well, yes. I mean, I think that obviously that this is a disaster, but the catastrophe has been, I think, exacerbated by the country's sort of long decline in its ability to take care of itself. And that's something that I think we need to look to the root causes of. I mean, at the beginning of the 1980s, Haiti grew the majority of its own rice. It wasn't entirely self-sufficient in food, but it had the capacity to be able to grow its own rice. But unfortunately, due to economic policy instituted by Presidents Reagan and President Clinton, the economy was opened up and forced to accept rice from the United States, where, according to the Cato Institute, the U.S. rice industry, there have been years where it receives over $1 billion a year in subsidy. And so as a result of that, you've seen a decimation of Haiti's ability to grow its own rice. And so even before this earthquake hit, you had people fighting over bags of rice that came from the United States rather than being grown domestically. And I think that...
And I guess if they're fighting over bags of rice, then they don't have the resources to build the infrastructure to keep the buildings there as safe as possible from earthquakes and hurricanes, both of which they're prone to, being in that location by the shore and being along this fault line. And there's a lot of anger by Haitians being expressed on this station and elsewhere today against the Haitian government for not having prepared for this more effectively. But it is also a direct reflection of the economics, including the international economics, isn't it, Raj?
That's exactly right, and I can see where that anger comes from. In fact, when there were food riots last year, that anger was directed not only at the high price of rice, but also at the undemocratic way in which the previous president, Jean-Bertrand Aristide, was removed from office in a coup. I certainly think that there's some very well-placed anger at the government and at the foreign interference in the Haitian economy that meant that it's going to be very hard for the country to recover.
All right. Raj Patel, author and activist and UC Berkeley professor who has worked in and written about Haiti. We'll have you on to talk about other things in a few days. Thank you for coming on for this today.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
And we will continue to take calls as the morning goes on from our Haitian-American listeners at 212-433-WNYC and keep posting to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. We will speak to the governor of Pennsylvania, Ed Rendell, and Steven Anderson from Infrastructure USA in just a minute.